Welcome to the Friday, November the 7th episode of Briefings with Butts. This is our 13th episode of the 2025-2026 school year. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Superintendent of the Metropolitan School District of Wayne Township. This weekly podcast is an important district communication tool for our staff, so thank you for carving out just about 15 minutes to listen each week. We hope this weekly update keeps you informed, connected, and most importantly, shines a spotlight on the great things happening in our schools. All right, let's dive into the highlights from another great week. It is wonderful to have everybody back after our two-week fall break that encompassed Halloween as well. That was important in our calendar discussions a couple of years ago. I hope you're able to rest, recharge, and spend some quality time with family and friends. We are excited to finish the semester strong in these last 6 or 7 weeks that we have remaining. I want to give a huge thank you to everyone who took the time to complete our fall panorama survey before break. The response was outstanding. We heard from 1,155 staff. That's an impressive 67% of our students in grades 3 through 12. And we tripled the response rate from our families compared to the previous survey. This kind of response shows your commitment to making sure everyone has a voice and making our district even better. We are anxiously awaiting the results and look forward to sharing what we have learned in the coming weeks. Speaking of the value of your feedback, this week is a perfect example of how we're putting your voices into action. Past feedback has shown the value you place on professional development and the opportunity to grow alongside colleagues. That feedback directly led to the implementation of our Late Start Mondays and our full-day professional development. On Tuesday, which was a non-school day for students, we held district-wide full-day professional development. We hope that you found it to be a meaningful opportunity to sharpen your skills and continue growing as professionals. And last Saturday, we opened enrollment for our benefits. We kicked that off and will be open through November the 15th. And as a reminder, this is your annual opportunity to make changes to most benefit plans. Review your current elections to confirm they're still the best options for you and your family for 2026. The deadline to complete this year's open enrollment process will be midnight on November the 15th. Well, speaking of taking care of our great staff, we know that comprehensive benefits are a critical part of supporting our employees and their families who choose to participate. With open enrollment underway right now, I want to make sure everyone has the information they need to make the best decisions for 2026. So to help you understand this important process, I am joined by two amazing individuals, the most knowledgeable people in our district when it comes to our benefits, Shandy Brickler, our benefits specialist, and Dr. Steve Samuel, Assistant Superintendent for Finance and Operations. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Shandy, we're still in 2025. This is November. Our plan doesn't change until next year. So talk to us about what open enrollment is and why it's so important for staff to make sure that they are paying attention and taking care of that, the signing up of their benefits over this next two-week window.
Of course. Well, open enrollment outside of life event changes is the only time that you can make any changes that you need to your benefits the one time of year.
So once you're locked in, you're locked in.
Exactly.
And if you miss that window, you're out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's very important. Every employee, full-time benefit eligible employee goes into the system to elect their benefits for 2026.
And so even if you're not changing a thing from what you've had during the 2025 year, you still need to go back in, correct?
Yes. We have an active participation enrollment every year that employees need to. It's very important so you can verify if there's any changes. You have to, of course, re-elect flex, your HSA amount, and verify your beneficiaries. Mm. It's a good time to do that.
So often people, because they only do it one time a year, have questions, right? What did I do last year? What do I need to do? Does it help you through that process? When you go back into the system, does it tell you what you had before? Does it give you some ideas if you need to change some things?
Yes. Before each option, so for instance, health insurance, it will have the grid to show you what plans are available. Okay. On the next page is where you make your election, and if there are no significant changes to the plan, so for example, if you had plan one, it will have a little flag on the page to mm-hmm. show you that you had plan one. Okay. It should also indicate at the top of the page you were enrolled in such and such. Mm-hmm.
Now, when I went in, I also noticed some red X's that I had next to some of those things that were available. What does that means that I deferred or I didn't take those, I declined those in the previous calendar year?
Yes.
But it might be something I want to consider. How do I know whether to consider that or not? What are some of the options for me when I'm trying to learn a little bit more about how to manage my plan?
I would recommend reading through the enrollment guide that I emailed out. It has very detailed summaries. Also, in the forms library in the benefits portal, you can read about every single benefit that we offer. It details out what is covered. For instance, the hospital coverage details out what that pays if you submit a claim. Mm. So going through those summaries is very important.
There's also a phone number to call, right? There's some help out there if somebody needs to reach out.
Yes, you can call, of course, me mm-hmm. or email me at any time. And we also have our call center that is available Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. 8 to 5:30.
Okay. Dr. Samuel, any changes this year to our plan?
We do have a few changes. Through some great input from our partners at Apex and the insurance committee, we're able to look at some options, not with health insurance, but with dental and vision insurance. And so when we think about those benefits, the vendor has shifted to Sun Life, and we like, and I think the committee really liked the continuity of having the same vendor for both of those. It also aligns with our current critical illness plan. And so, for employees to be able to utilize that and take advantage of some of those benefits here at the end of the year, if they have gone through some of the preventative care pieces that would make them eligible for dollars.
One of the things we've talked about with retaining great staff, retention of great staff, one of the pillars of our strategic plan is management of health care, management of one's own health. How does all of this go into that whole section of our strategic plan on recruiting and retaining great staff?
It's a huge piece of that. And I think there's a lot of components that all contribute to that. You know, we want to make sure that we have employees that are healthy, vibrant people that have resources to help them get to that place. And we know everybody's at a different spot in that wellness journey, and we know that everybody values different things within that journey. And so part of the goal is to provide that comprehensive benefits support. And one of the ways that we do that is through our partners at Apex, who are always looking for new opportunities. Two new opportunities within this benefits enrollment period are SWORD, which is an online physical therapy tool that is available, would be available to our employees now, and a partnership with OrthoIndy that's going to be similar to that urgent care partnership we have with Hendrix Health, but of course focused on medical needs that OrthoIndy would be providing. So broken bones, et cetera. You would have some free resources and visit to go and receive care there. In the event that you or one of your covered beneficiaries has an incident, and that is a new resource and a new part of our plan that we're excited about.
One of the things that I think it's important to address is this increase in our premiums. And we know that for many years, we've been very fortunate. We've been able to maintain our premium without increasing it. Districts put in a little bit extra money from our self-insurance fund. And we also know that this week, the teachers had a chance to vote on the teacher contract. One of the things they didn't see in that teacher contract was an increase in the board's contribution towards healthcare. The negotiation teams felt that that money needed to really go more towards salaries and not towards benefits, since not all of our employees participate in that healthcare plan, but all of our employees do get paid through their checks every 2 weeks. And so that percentage increase may not look the same to everyone because of the board's contribution, which has stayed the same, and each person's individual plan that they have chosen to, whether they are taking one of the high deductible plans, whether they have family or single or employee and spouse, whether they are taking some additional life insurance and vision and dental and all of those kinds of things. Anything else you want to share on why there might be that variance? Because we've heard from people that, hey, I thought it was 8%, but mine looks different than that.
Yeah, and that can be something that, you know, when you hear 8%, you expect to see what you pay as an 8% increase. And while, you know, logically that tracks initially, I think the hard part is thinking about this as a price per member. Mm-hmm. And so think of it as for every payment period, there is a cost per member mm-hmm. to the plan. And so if the overall cost of that price per member, which was around $917 last year, and now is up, I think, around $998, if you have that cost, and then you look at the board's contribution mm-hmm. staying static, that 8% is then absorbed, unfortunately, mm-hmm. by the employee. And as you indicated, with regard to negotiations and those other pieces, that those are all conversations that, that can occur within those processes. Every negotiations, excuse me, every negotiations round that we have.
Yeah, Shandy, what else do we need to know? What else is important? Some of the questions that you're getting already. I know Tuesday you were at Chapel Hill 7th and 8th grade center working with staff, and there were several presentations that went on. What else do we need for our listeners to know as we are wrapping up our first week of the open enrollment window, and they have one more week to get that signed up?
Just make sure that you go through each page carefully and decide. Mine are more data driven, I guess. Mm-hmm. So like specifically when logging in, people seem to be having problems. Mm. You cannot see what you're typing when you type your long Wayne email.
Uh-huh.
So I would recommend, since we tend to make errors when we're doing that, I would recommend typing that elsewhere, then copy and paste it into the user field.
And just for everyone's memory, the password is the last four digits of your Social Security number and the two digits of your birth year.
Last two digits of your birth year. Correct, correct.
So in my case, would be 70 since I was born in 1970. I won't tell what my last four of my Social Security is, but it'd be those four numbers and 70 for my year of birth.
Yes. And the other thing I will note is if you believe that you will have trouble logging in and have questions, please remember that the call center is only open Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. So as you know, our last day of open enrollment is actually on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. So please
don't wait until
the last minute to call the call center. I would prefer you just do it early or to call me. As I noted earlier, the call center, their hours are actually 8:30 to 5. Monday through Friday.
And that information is available also in our benefits portal that they can check on. You made reference to making sure that people read up on the different options and the benefits that they had. Or, as you mentioned again, they can call you. Or they can call the hotline.
Yes. I did also want to note on the health plan. Currently, we have three health plans for 2025. Mm. And if you will notice, when you see the grid pop up, you only see two.
Okay.
That just means our current plan two is no longer being offered for 2026, as we found not a significant enrollment in that and differences in deductibles. Mm. So our current plan three will be becoming plan two.
Okay.
So.
Very
just,
good.
Just to note that.
Dr. Samuel, anything else to add?
Yeah, I was going to add one more important thing when we think about the rates that employees are going to see when they look through the benefits enrollment materials is this is a unique year. As the 8% increase indicates, we've seen an increase in cost to the plan. One of the features behind the scenes that we are continuing to work in order to hopefully generate some savings is negotiations with some of our vendors, specifically in the reinsurance category. And so as things clear up, as those negotiations are completed, it is possible that the rates can go down. They won't go up from where they're at, but we're cautiously optimistic as those negotiations continue that we can drive those rates down just a little bit more for our employees.
And we'd be remiss, of course, if we didn't remind everyone that as part of our negotiation process, as we mentioned a couple times, we did increase the contribution to the health savings account. We are a self-insured school district, which means we hold our own insurance. So for our self-insurance, we all pay into it. We all benefit from that, each employee actually paying into that. So it's critically important that each one of us takes does our own part to make sure that we are managing our own health care to the best of our abilities, and that we're taking every preventative option that we can, including those videos, our biometric screenings, and just trying to live a very high quality life to the best of our ability. So there is some additional opportunities to gain some additional contributions to the health savings account. And then more information will be rolling out on that in the upcoming weeks and months as we continue to work through that process to increase those both in 2025-26 and 2026-27. Thank you, Dr. Samuel. Thank you, Shandy Brickler, for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. Always a wealth of information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, coming up, it's time to start donating non-perishable food items for our annual Ben Davis Thanksgiving food drive benefiting our Wayne families, and it could not be more important than right now with the government shutdown and the uncertainty with our SNAP benefits. This food provides families in the MSD of Wayne Township who are in need of assistance with a food basket containing a turkey, bread, milk, and three bags of groceries filled with breakfast items and other full meals. Also, Tuesday, November 11th is Veterans Day, when we celebrate and honor those who have served our country. Wayne Township is the first district in the state to accomplish all schools being designated as Purple Star schools through the Indiana Department of Education. Thank you for your support you provide to our veterans and our military families. And once again, remember, open enrollment closes midnight, Friday, November the 15th. Don't wait until the last minute. Well, that's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest on what's happening in the MSD of Wayne Township. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to end with our mission and our vision, the reason why we're here. Our mission, to activate and accelerate student learning. And our vision, to develop great people. Thank you for the impact you make each and every day. And remember, I am Wayne, you are Wayne, we are Wayne. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.